भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
So I'm reading from the Srimad the Bhagavad Gita. This is chapter 12. For those of you who are sitting and have books, it's the 15th verse. I'll just chant the verse, and then I'll chant the. We can do the translation together. Yasmanno dvijyate loko, lokanno dvijyate chaya, harsamasha paryodvegar, muktoya sachame priyam. Translation. He, by whom no one is put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety is very dear to me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A few of a devotee's qualifications are further being described. No one is put into difficulty, anxiety, fearfulness, or dissatisfaction by such a devotee. Since a devotee is kind to everyone, he does not act in such a way as to put others into anxiety. At the same time, if others try to put a devotee into anxiety, he is not disturbed. It is by the grace of the Lord that he is so practiced that he is not disturbed by any outward disturbance. Actually, because a devotee is always engrossed in Krishna consciousness and engaged in devotional service, such material circumstances cannot move him. Generally, a materialistic person becomes very happy when there is something for his sense gratification and his body. But when he sees that others have something for their sense gratification, and he hasn't, he is sorry and envious. When he is expecting some retaliation from an enemy, he is in a state of fear. And when he cannot successfully execute something, he becomes dejected. A devotee who is always transcendental to all these disturbances is very dear to Krishna. Om agina timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshud unmalitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So here we have Krishna stating to Arjuna that a person who, as it's mentioned in the last, a devotee who is always transcendental to all these disturbances is very dear to Krishna. Why is he dear to Krishna? Because he's always absorbed in Krishna. There is no way that we can be undisturbed, unruffled, unaffected, unshaken, unless we are always absorbed in Krishna consciousness to some degree. For example, if you put your hand under hot water, then your hand becomes warm. If you put your hand under cold water, it becomes cold. And if we put our mind on Krishna, who is all peace, all joy, all love, all strength, all power, again, I emphasize all peace, all calm, all tranquility. Just as if I put my hand into the cold water, my hand will get cold or hot, it will get warm. Similarly, as I put my mind on Krishna and keep it focused there, then what will happen? The quality of Krishna's peace, the quality of Krishna's joy, the quality of Krishna's strength, the quality of Krishna's love will begin to leach into my mind. And as a result, I will manifest those same qualities. Basically, that's what this chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna is non-different from His name. When you chant His name, Krishna or Rama, we're associating with Krishna. That's a little miracle that He created for all of us, to make it easy for us to go back home, back to Godhead. So just as I said, when you put your hand under the cold water, your hand gets cold. When we put our mind on the Hare Krishna mantra, we begin to absorb the wonderful qualities of Krishna, which I just mentioned a few moments ago. So, the question really comes to us. We wonder, why am I in anxiety? And what is anxiety? And how does it manifest? We need to think about this. We all experience some degree of it. Anxiety is basically a feeling of fear of the outcome of something. We want something to come out a certain way. We want it to be accomplished. For example, you have to go for an examination in school, and you've studied very hard. And you're in anxiety because if you don't pass the test or you don't pass with high grades, you may not get into a very very prestigious university. Because the prestigious university, they look for the top students, and they, of course, like to have them in there because it looks very good in terms of those students who come out of, they graduate, they get very good jobs, often, not always. What happens is that a person who is studying for the examination is worried that maybe his mind will draw a blank. He knows all the answers. He studied the answers. He's got them memorized. And suddenly he gets the shakes. Draw blank mind. And he sits there. 1 minute goes by. Another minute. Anybody ever have that experience? I know I did. It's horrible. You feel like you're in hell. So you wait and you wait and you hold and you wonder. And then suddenly a few little words pop into your mind, and then another few associate with those words, and then another few, and before you know it, there's a stream of consciousness going, and the answer starts to come, and such a feeling of relief. So this is anxiety, because we want to pass the test, we want to do well on the test. In anything and everything in our life, we want to accomplish, we want to do well, we want to succeed. And when there's any threat of our not succeeding, when there's any difficulty, or when there's any possibility of somebody eclipsing us, or being better than us, or being higher than us, greater than us, then it gives us a little bit of the shakes. Because we all like to be outstanding. We're taught that from early age. Be outstanding. Be supreme. Be great. Be glorious. Be an honor to your family. These are things that we learn at an early age. So if we don't, then we feel sort of crushed. Let's just say I don't score well, I don't do well, or I'm not as capable as I thought I was, or I thought I'd be the topmost, you know, on a student. I get the best grade, and here I am, a number 6 instead of number 1. I feel crushed, although 5th isn't bad because there are 500 students. And you're the 5th best. But even though that's nothing, you want to be number 1, as they say, top gun. So this is a disease, to put it in a nutshell. It is a disease. Yes, Prabhupada makes this very clear. This idea that I have to be number 1, this idea that I have to be the best, this idea that I have to be the greatest, where does it come from? Because anything that threatens it, anything that militates against it, anything that shakes it or rattles it, puts us into anxiety. Where did it start? What's the origin? Where did it come from? Originally, we were all Krishna-conscious living entities. In the spiritual world, the eternal world, Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means the place of non-anxiety. That's the literal meaning of Vaikuntha. The highest place in Vaikuntha, the topmost area, of course, is Goloka. But all the other Vaikuntha planets, which are governed by Lord Vishnu in one form or another, there's no anxiety there. Everyone is peaceful. Everyone is happy. Everyone is joyful. Everyone is serving. That's what makes them happy. They're serving God because they want to serve God. They love God. They want to please God. They want to serve Him. They want to honor Him. They love to applaud Him because they are so thrilled and happy to be able to serve Him. So when a person is situated in that condition, then only happiness can be his lot, can be his destiny. And people stay in the eternal world eternally unless, like so many of us, decide we no longer want to serve Krishna. If you don't want to serve Krishna, and you want to be served as a Krishna, well then, you don't belong there anymore. That's what this world is for. This world is for persons who want to become a Krishna and have the illusion that they are Krishna, and so they're sent to this world. Now, you have a choice. The choice is, do I want to serve? Or do I want to be served? If you want to taste what it's like to be served, what does it feel like to be adored? What does it feel like to be glorified? What does it feel like to be applauded? What does it feel like to be bowed down to? What does it feel like to be people prostrating? What does it feel like people going around with placards with your name on? What does it feel like to see your name in the newspapers and the magazines? What does it feel like to see your name in the news on the internet every night? What does that feel like when you're so high, above, heady? Hardly anybody else is getting that. You're the President of the United States. Your name is on every day. Almost every minute people are hearing it. Or you may be some great big actress or actor. And people are talking about you. You're getting an Academy Award or an Emmy Award or a Tony Award. Or you're some big sports athlete. And you get the Heisman Trophy or you get the, whatever they give out nowadays. The best NBA, you know. So you get a trophy, you get a plaque, you get a medal, or you enter into the Olympics, and you get gold medals, and you have this feeling, I'm the greatest. For example, Michael Phelps, he won 8 swimming awards, 8 gold medals, world record, best in the world, in 8 different events. And yet, what does it matter? What does it mean? Here is a man with the full feeling that he is the best in the world, and yet he's an alcoholic. And yet he's a drug taker. And he is on rehabilitation. I'm not trying to put him down. What I'm putting down is the false notion that if somehow you're big, you're great, you're grand, and everyone is applauding you, that somehow that will make you happier. If he was so happy, he wouldn't have to take alcohol. He's in anxiety. Such anxiety. Will I be able to maintain my position? What happens in the next Olympics? Suppose somebody outdoes me. Suppose I only get 7 medals. Or suppose I only get 5. Ah! I've been reduced. I'm crushed. I'm small. I'm insignificant now. I remember once there was on the, what do they call that? They swing themselves over the bar. What do they call that? Gymnastics, yes. So there were 3 persons. One got a gold medal, and one got a silver medal, and one got a, whatever they give, the 3rd copper medal, bronze, whatever. Anyway, so the person who got 2nd, he happened to be a Russian. So the newsman said to the person who was 1st, how does it feel to be 1st? Oh, it's wonderful. I really love it. And I'm so grateful that I was able to achieve this. And he went to the Russian person. How do you like it? He said, I hate it. He says, why do you hate it? He says, I want to be 1st. He says, this is a disgrace. Disgrace to my country. My country should be on top. And here, I only took 2nd. He's the 2nd best in the whole world. He can't even enjoy his success because he feels he's been eclipsed. He's been overshadowed. As a result of that, he's now feels gloom that nobody will look at him as number one when he walks down the street. Oh, there's number two. Oh, no good. Poor guy, you know. Do you think he'll have a good night's sleep for a year? I don't think so. So this is the sickness. This is what brings on anxiety. You come into this world, the soul. That's what we all are, souls. Spirit soul is eternal. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, for the soul there is neither birth nor death at any time. It has not come into being, it does not come into being, and it will not come into being. It is unborn, eternal, ever-existing and primeval. It is not slain when the body is slain. That which pervades the entire body, you should know to be unslayable. It can't be killed. It is not slain when the body is slain. So the soul is eternal. That's who we are. But when we enter this material world, we lose sight of, or we forget totally who we are. We begin to think that I am the body, this. And we become identified with the body, this is me. And we assign a name to this body. It could be Mr. Jones, Mr. Grant, Mr. Shapiro, or Mr. Gupta. So when somebody says, Mr. J. Gupta, yes, that's me, you're good for nothing. What? You know. So you're blessed, you're so wonderful, you're so spiritual. Yes, thank you so much. So this is what we're looking for? This is happiness? No. This is not real happiness. Real happiness comes from within. A liberated person is not attracted to material sense enjoyment, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. Thus, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme Lord. Now, if we think we are the body, then anything that tends to threaten the body will upset us, will disturb us, will shake us and rattle us. Somebody calls us a fool. Somebody calls us an idiot. Somebody cuts us off on the traffic. You all heard of road rage? People kill for road rage. Somebody gets cut off. I remember once I cut somebody off. The man behind me trailed me for at least 10 miles. Finally, I was able to lose him. So just because I didn't intentionally cut him off, it just happened to work out that way. So people will do that because they feel, how dare him cut me off? I am the Lord. I'm the great. I'm the wonder. I'm glorifiable. Nobody cuts me off. This is the mentality of the madness that goes on in this world. Why do people go into schools? Kids come in with guns and start shooting everybody up. Why? Because they want to show that they are lords. That they can take a life. That makes you feel like you're God. Because after all, that person is alive. No more. I did it. I'm God. God controls life and death. And that's just what I did. So persons think like this. This is madness. This is maniacalness. It's cultivated through these wonderful computer games where you get to kill umpteen million people by the time you're 13. And then it doesn't even matter. You lose all your sensitivity to life or death. And whether you kill somebody in the real or you kill somebody on the screen, it ultimately becomes the same. Desensitized, unfortunate, and the ego wanting to feel the greatness. Some of these young men, they feel depressed, they feel small, they feel insignificant, they feel worthless, they feel good for nothing. How can I be a big shot? How can I get my name in the papers and the newspapers and the magazines on the internet? How, if I just shoot a few people, I'll be known all over the world. And then I'll take my own life so that they don't try me, and I'll outfox them that way. That's our thinking. So unfortunate. This is madness. So everyone here has the opportunity to totally be free of all of this stuff. So when we begin to think that we are this body, that's what happens. We want to enlarge its impression, enlarge its appearance. We want to make it big in the world. But a person who has some true and real spiritual intelligence doesn't really care about those things. Because the body will die anyway. And all the accomplishments we have, all the achievements we have, all the property we acquire, all the holdings that we have, all the money that we have to leave it all. So what is the point of it all? How can we take pride in something that we're going to lose? Our life ultimately ends up in a big, gigantic zero. You don't have anything. What can you take? Nothing. A memory? You even lose your memory. By the time you become 90 or 80, you get dementia. You don't even remember that you were the president. Poor Ronald Reagan. He had Alzheimer's. He didn't even know he was president once. Forgot completely. Can you imagine that? So much power this man had, and then total forgetfulness. Could hardly even remember his name. Is that something to work for? Is that something to live for? Is that something to strive for? Is it? Of course not. It's madness. What a devotee strives for is to develop his realization, number one, that he is not the body. He's not the mind. He's not the intelligence. He is the spirit soul. He wants to not just know this. I'm simply citing it. He wants to go beyond knowing it. He wants to experience it. He wants to experience himself, herself, as a spiritual soul. When you know that you are the soul, when somebody calls you a fool, you know what you say? How'd you guess? How'd you know? You don't get upset. It doesn't bother you. Because you know the reality. The reality is that you are simply a spirit soul. And next to Krishna, we are all tiny, insignificant, small, and powerless. Next to Krishna, we're nothing. But with Krishna, with his guidance, with his grace, with his love, he can make us into anything he wants us to be. So it's not that we should be striving to be somebody or something. We should be striving to what? To please Krishna, to love Krishna, to adore Krishna, to submit to Krishna, to surrender to Krishna. If we gain his grace, we will gain everything and anything that we need to not only survive in this material world, but to do well in this material world. That's the secret, to gain the grace of God. And we gain the grace of God by, as Krishna says, engage your mind, always thinking of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your obeisances to me. Thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. He's telling us how we can come to him, how our hearts can join with his heart. That is the yoga that we teach here. The joining of our hearts with Krishna's heart. And absorbing that influx of his love, which then manifests through our eyes, through our speech, through our hands, through our talents, through our abilities. And we do well. We achieve. But Krishna says you have the right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of action. Well, who is? He says, never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities. Well, who is the cause? The cause is Krishna. Krishna is the cause, so ascribe all accomplishment, all achievement, all goals that have been attained to Krishna. He's behind it all. He's allowing or disallowing. He's enabling or not enabling. He's arranging or not arranging. He's arranged for everybody to be here tonight. And so that's his mercy. If I say something that, for example, that some of us here pick up on and begin to practice regularly, and your life becomes happier, more fulfilled, more strong, and more truly successful. Real success is in the heart. And that comes by pleasing Krishna. It doesn't come by winning a trophy. It doesn't come by getting medals. It doesn't come by winning a PhD. Those things are fine in the material world, but they don't bring real happiness. Real happiness comes by pleasing God, who's in the heart. And when we please Him, when He's satisfied and He pours His grace upon us, we feel that grace. It's like a rain coming down. When the rain comes down, you know, you get soaked. So when Krishna soaks us with His love, then we are fully saturated with that love. And we are thrilled with that love. We're uplifted with that love. We're ecstatic with that love. We don't need alcohol. We don't need heroin. We don't need cocaine. We don't need the drug ecstasy. We don't need OxyContin. We don't need any of those things because we've got something so far better, truer, higher, what everyone is really searching for, needing, not finding, because they don't know these teachings. How many of us have computers and computer screens? How many? Raise your hand. No, that's almost everybody. Okay, how many of us have pictures of Krishna on the upper part of the screen? One, two, three, four. That's it? Okay. We've got a lot of work to do here. So most of us don't. So please, get a little picture of Krishna, put it on top of your TV monitor, so that when you're typing emails or going through the database or whether you're on Google, you'll always be seeing this picture either peripherally or directly. And you'll see the picture and you take a few moments out and say, "My dear Lord Krishna, thank you so much for giving me this nice computer. This is coming by your mercy. I could not blink my eyes except for your mercy. I can't walk without your mercy. I can't speak without your mercy. I can't think without your mercy." There are people sitting in mental hospitals just looking like this. Vegetables. Krishna has withdrawn His mercy from them for whatever reason he has found. We all have the mercy tonight. You're all listening. And you can listen to Srila Prabhupada's wonderful talks. And you can give out Bhagavad Gita's. Continue to multiply the mercy that you have received by simply doing more and more of the things that are pleasing to Krishna. So Vas made an announcement before about the marathon. I recommend everyone at least should have get at least one case of Bhagavad Gita's. And if you can afford it, get 10 cases. You don't have to distribute them. We have plenty of persons on our, what we call World Enlightenment Day. They'll distribute them for you if there's a difficulty in doing that. But know this, that whoever distributes them, whether you do it or someone else does it, you get the benefit of Krishna's grace. He's so pleased. You're giving someone else an opportunity to transform, to change, to uplift, to strengthen, and to elevate his life from dreariness, from anxiety, from uncertainty, from doubt, from despair, from depression to elation, to elevation. Isn't that a wonderful opportunity? Every one of us has that chance. Take it. Jump on it. If Krishna is giving it to you, take that opportunity. Don't just let it be. Because if you let it be, you don't know when it will ever come back again. You don't know, tomorrow we might get sick. We might get into some difficult disorder. We may end up in a hospital. So many things can happen. But when we do something so positive and so uplifting, and not only to ourselves, but to others, you feel so great. And so much of the anxiety that we have will disappear because the grace of Krishna, as I said from the very outset, is all peace. It's calmness. It's tranquility. It's innermost. For one whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is the perfect mystic. He's liberated in the Supreme Lord, and ultimately he attains the Supreme Lord. So why not take up on this? We have the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. We have the beautiful pictures that I said, put on your man. Put your home is Krishna's home, dedicated to Krishna. When you leave, step into your apartment or your home today, state, "This home belongs to Krishna. It came apparently through my work, but how can I work without Krishna's mercy?" As I already said, you can't think, you can't act, you can't walk, you can't talk, you can't do anything without His mercy. And if he withdraws that mercy, as he does, as I speak now, somebody's losing his voice. As I speak now, somebody's losing his vision. As I speak now, somebody's getting a heart attack. Somebody is losing something this very moment. And here we are, peaceful, healthy, happy, strong. So we should be very, very grateful. And we should make good use of that which he is giving us. And we can make good use of it by focusing on our spiritual program. Get up in the morning. How many of us are chanting 16 rounds of japa every day? Okay. How many are chanting at least 8 rounds of japa every day? Okay. So, start, if you chant, how many are chanting no rounds of japa? Nobody has to be ashamed. You don't get kicked out. Everybody's chanting some rounds. Good. Okay. So, as soon as you get up, first thing is thank Krishna. Another day to serve you. Some of you have jobs. You go to your job. Fine. I'm going to go there. I'm going to be serving the Lord there. This boss, he thinks he's my boss. My real boss is Krishna. He's an illusion. And when I smile at him, I'm smiling at the Lord within his heart. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman. A cow, an elephant, a dog eater. He sees the Lord in the heart. So he's happy to serve. Even if the boss is the most horrible person, you see the Lord, so it doesn't affect you, doesn't disturb you, doesn't shake you. When you are thinking Krishna consciously, nothing in this world can upset you, disturb you, or shake you. You remain peaceful. It's only when you get wrapped up, or you get coiled up, you get entangled in it, you get attached to it. Attached to what? This false ego. Somebody puts you down. Somebody says something about your name. Somebody doesn't like your performance. How dare you think that way of me? No. A humble sage. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm only what Krishna makes me. And therefore, all credit for my deeds, for my actions, for my success, my accomplishment, all the credit goes to whom?
Krishna.
Whom?
Krishna.
Whom?
Krishna.
I got the message. Thank you. And he did too. So that's good. I wanted to also remember this point, that whenever you do something nice, give the credit to Krishna. When somebody applauds you, give the credit. You don't have to do it outwardly. It can be done inwardly. Otherwise, it becomes like a big advertisement of your humility. Just see how humble I am. Thank you very much. It's all due to Krishna. It's all that. We don't have to make a big show or a big sign. All my accomplishments due to Krishna. You know, like they do in the tax time. You know, they got the signs. Go and get your income tax done there, you know, on the crossroads. So we don't have to make a sign that just inwardly. Jesus said, he said very nicely, very well too, that don't let your right hand shouldn't know what your left hand is doing. Or when you have really something, you've done something great, go into your closet and just thank the Lord. Don't make a big show. Because making big show is another form of egotism. And egotism is what destroys us and kills us. So if we want to be free of anxiety, give all the credit to Krishna. If you want the credit, then you have to take the anxiety. And nobody likes anxiety. It brings frustration, it brings sorrow, it brings misery, and ultimately, unhappiness. So everyone here has the wonderful opportunity to be happy, not once in a while, not occasionally, all the time. Why? Because all you have to do is associate with the supreme happy, the supreme fulfillment, the supreme lover, the supreme peace, the supreme joy, the supreme Krishna. And if we associate with him, then what will happen is that we will feel that peace within. And when you take your exam, it won't bother you. You're putting it all in Krishna's hands. My dear Lord, I am trusting this service to you. So it's up to you. This is what Prabhupada said when he came to America. It's up to you to make me a success or failure. I put the onus on you, Lord. I have done everything I can. I will take this test as a service to you. I will try to pass it as a service to you. Whatever the grade I get, I will give the credit to you. Everything goes to you, and I am just the servant that I once was in the eternal world. I will be that same servant again. And ultimately, when it's time for me to leave, I will not leave with a big zero. I will leave with million infinite Krishna. And when I have that, I go back home, back to Godhead, back to Vaikuntha, back to Goloka, back to a life of continuous, unbroken bliss, ecstasy, happiness, and peace. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Now, are there any questions or comments that any of you might like to make? Okay, yes. Yeah, good and loud, because I don't hear so well from here. Go ahead. Is what? Yeah, all over the body, yeah. Yeah, that's so the people on the internet can hear you.
Okay. So it's all over the body. Does Krishna say somewhere else in that the soul is only in the heart?
Yeah, that's only half of the statement. Let me complete it for you. If you'll read the purport that Srila Prabhupada has written, that which pervades the entire body you should know to be indestructible. No one is able to slay the imperishable soul. So, in the purport, you will see that the soul exists in the heart, just as you just said. But the soul is radiating. It's radiating consciousness, okay? Consciousness is coming in the form of a stream, just like the sun is radiating light. Similarly, the soul is radiating energy. That energy is going, as it's in the heart, it touches, goes to the heart first. The heart distributes that energy through the circulatory system to every part of the body, enabling all the different structures to work. If the different structures do not receive that prana, that life force, then they can no longer function. They will fail completely. In fact, that's what the difference between a dead person and a living person is, that that energy that I just spoke of, which is coming from the soul, ultimately from the super soul, which is right beside the soul, is circulating throughout the body to the respiratory system, circulatory system, endocrine system, nervous system, all the systems, enabling them to function. As soon as there is a blockage and that energy cannot reach it, then what happens is that system will gradually deteriorate, possibly become gangrenous and die. And this is how different parts die, due to infection, and the energy cannot reach it because there is so much blockage of impurities in that area. Okay? Is that clear to you?
Okay, but my question was whether Krishna said somewhere else that the soul is in the heart.
Well, I haven't contradicted that. I said the energy of the soul is in the heart, but the soul is manifesting, radiating energy. Do you understand? Oh, you don't understand that. Do you understand? The sun is radiating light. Do you understand that? Okay? The soul is like the sun, and that comparison is made in the Gita. It is radiating energy. The energy is going all over the body. That is consciousness. That's all I can say. Read the Bhagavad Gita, study those purports that I just mentioned, and it will become clearer as time goes on. Thank you for your question. Any other question? Yes, Prabhuji.
Is it true that Krishna ever withdraws his mercy?
Is what?
Is it true that Krishna ever withdraws his mercy?
I'm not understanding the question.
Does Krishna ever withdraw his mercy?
Yes. Yes, when we commit offenses against especially other devotees, that's when mercy gets withdrawn. Krishna does not like us to offend other devotees. Very bad. Be very careful. That's why it's best to be respectful, to be honorable, to be gentlemanly, to be cautious on how we speak, and that way we will continue to gain mercy rather than lose mercy. Okay? Any other question? No? Yes? Any uncertains? Well, thank you again. Enjoy your prasadam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. All glories to Sri Sri Rukmini and Dwarkadesha ki. Jagannath Baladev Lady Subhadra ki. Shri Shri Gaura Nitaya Ki. Hare Krishna.